Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. It has rained every single day so far this year, and flooding coupled with strong winds have caused destruction and dangerous conditions, with a heavier hand on those without stable housing or reliable shelter. Since the new year, the series of storms have proved deadly across Northern California, and that tragically continued over the weekend. The Sacramento County Coroner confirmed two people who were in house died during the weekend storm. And although an official cause is pending, both were found with trees on top of their tents. There are emergency warming centers available for those experiencing homelessness, but that doesn't necessarily mean people who need them know about them, can get to them, or feel comfortable staying in them. Cap Radio reporter Chris Nichols covers housing and homelessness and joins us now. Welcome, Chris. Good morning.
Good morning, Vicky.
We've had multiple atmospheric rivers in the first 10 days of the year. The impact is just devastating. It's widespread. But where has your reporting taken you, given that you're hyper-focused on unhoused residents?
Well, you're right, Vicky. I think the impact really has been devastating and also unpredictable. I've focused on making sure we get the word out, both on air and online, about Sacramento's emergency warming centers. The city and county have set up several of these locations, which they also call weather respite centers, where unhoused residents or anyone who's affected by these storms can go indoors, charge up their phone, rest, and stay safe during the worst of these conditions. I've also been speaking with people who run homeless services and shelters because they're seeing and hearing from unhoused residents every day. Shannon Dominguez-Stevens runs a daytime shelter for homeless women and children at Loaves and Fishes north of downtown. I spoke with her last week as the second in this series of powerful storms was approaching. And she told me at that point that many unhoused residents had already moved to higher ground away from riverbanks. She described the impact of these storms on people without a permanent home.
They're dealing with this onslaught of weather. And you know, the reality is that our community just isn't prepared for a downpour of this magnitude. So we're hearing from a lot of people who are just like in complete crisis and really scared. So it's a really traumatizing experience. It's an additional layer of trauma on top of the one that already exists because folks are unhoused day in and day out. And I think, you know, there are the acute effects of a storm like this, but the long-term effects of having to endure a storm of this magnitude are yet to be seen.
And Chris, the destruction from the wind is unfortunately easy to find, from trees uprooting asphalt to slamming down on homes and cars. But the most extreme and tragic impacts have come at the cost of human life. Over the weekend, two people were killed. And although the details are slim, what can you tell us about what happened?
Well, based on information from the county coroner's office, we know the names and ages of the people killed and approximately where their tents were when these trees fell on top of them. The first one is 40-year-old Rebecca Rohde. She was found on Saturday on North 5th Street, south of the American River. And then on Sunday, 61-year-old Steven Sorensen was discovered on Roseville Road in North Highlands. I don't have any more details on these victims, but we do know that there is a large and growing population of unhoused residents who live in tent encampments. And the most recent homeless survey published last summer found that Sacramento County had more than 1,600 tents, up nearly fivefold from 3 years before. That was the number that survey volunteers were able to see and count early last year.
Wow, nearly fivefold from 3 years before. That is incredible. You know, when talking about the wind that we all experienced, I mean, I was awakened on multiple occasions from strong wind gusts, not only powerful, but it was also scary at times. But people who are living in encampments or sleeping outside, they don't have the safety and buffer offered with a home. Did they open up about how the past 10 days have been for them?
The people I spoke with said these storms have definitely shaken them. They compared these conditions to the strong wind-driven system that hit our region in late January of last year. That storm, if you remember, killed several unhoused residents, according to homeless advocates. There was one constant that I heard during my interviews. Nearly everyone I spoke with said they would try to make it through these conditions at their current location, whether that be in a tent or a camper. rather than seeking out a homeless shelter. Dennis McLaughlin, who lives at a large encampment in North Sacramento called Camp Resolution, told me he would rely on support from his fellow unhoused neighbors to make it through.
You got more rain coming.
Yeah, and you know, we'll deal with it. I mean, we know how to deal with it. You know, you just ride, you got to ride it out. You know what I mean? Until we get some more trailers, you know what I mean? We just ride it on out.
So McLaughlin mentioned more trailers. What's he talking about?
Well, he's referring to a donation of several trailers that Camp Resolution received. Those arrived before the storms and helped replace some tents. This camp, like others in the region, has received private donations, things like hot food, dry blankets, and jackets from members of the neighboring community and mutual aid groups. With all the rain, there is a big demand for dry, warm clothing at these camps.
Chris, you've also reported on the Sacramento region's lack of both emergency shelter space and traditional beds. There are simply far more unhoused residents than there are beds, but capacity isn't the only problem, right?
That's right. I think, you know, there are definitely a lot more reasons people remain outdoors, either by necessity or by their own choice, even during these horrific rainstorms. When I asked people last week whether shelter was an option for them, the answers ranged from a woman telling me she had two dogs she didn't want to be separated from, to a man saying he was worried about theft in the shelters and that he couldn't bring his possessions, to just an overall lack of faith in the shelter system. Here again is Shannon Dominguez-Stevens from Loaves and Fishes.
Certainly shelter is something that the folks that we're seeing are very interested in, but the reality is that there is an overwhelming distrust of shelter providers from people who are experiencing, you know, chronic homelessness, because there just has not been consistent service provision for them. And in the middle of it all, there is also not, their needs aren't necessarily centered in shelter planning. And it's, you know, it's really hard for people to move at a moment's notice and get all those things together to take up any sort of like respite shelter that exists. Because, you know, that's the other thing. In terms of overnight shelter, there's not a lot. There's a severe deficit.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CAP Radio reporter Chris Nichols about how the series of storms have impacted unhoused residents in Sacramento. The lack of trust is one of the biggest hurdles. Let's return for a moment to CAP Resolution in North Sacramento. You reported on this really unique camp late last year. Why was it in the news?
Well, this is a tight-knit group of about 50 homeless people who are occupying a city-owned site at Colfax and Arden Way. And early last year, the city designated this property as a future safe parking area, one where people could legally live in their vehicles. The city even spent more than $600,000 to pave and fence the site, but then abandoned its plan because it had become too expensive. Unhoused residents occupied the site anyway, and then last fall, city officials said they would clear those people from the property because the soil is contaminated and presents health risks. People at the camp and their supporters demanded the city cancel any plans to clear the site, and there's been a pause on those plans ever since. I spoke with one of the camp leaders, Sharon Jones, about the impact of these storms last week.
A few people got depressed, but all in all, everybody started working together as a unit to get so it wouldn't flood in here because of that. And if you notice, almost all of them had, at one point, plastic. We got plastic for all the trailers and stuff.
That's right. You have plastic tarps on top of the tent,
yeah,
on top of trailers.
Yeah.
I guess that's just what you have to do.
Right. But you got to clamp them, you know, you got to make sure you secure them down, and because a loose tarp will take you out. And if you're in a tent and you have a loose tarp, it will take your tent out.
So Camp Resolution is an example of a large camp that's received donations and also support during these difficult times. But that isn't necessarily always the case. What about some of the smaller camps and their residents?
Right. That last example is definitely an exception. Most camps are not that large. They're not that well organized. But I have found, whether it's a few dozen people like Camp Resolution or just a handful at these smaller camps, there is a sense of community at these locations. The residents do work together. They often share supplies and chores, just like in other living arrangements. And that's the case at a small camp near a light rail station in North Sacramento that I visited for a story last month and visited again last week. I checked in with Christine Price. She lives there in a camper, and I asked her about that first really strong storm on New Year's Eve.
What was that?
Oh, that was a lot. It was a rocker. Usually the camper doesn't get rocked so easily. And a couple of times I could feel it pushed on it. And so I was like, I'm really glad I supported it.
Right.
Myself, at Home Depot.
What about the rain? I mean, how did your roof hold up and all that?
Well, during that first storm, as you can see, my tarps blew off. They were off. So, and I have a few leaks. They're not bad, but it comes down the walls and runs out the bottom, but it leaves everything inside moist. So that's what they're up there for. The rain, it was pretty torrential.
So were you able to get them back? Looks like you got them back.
I tried. Yeah. I tried once, and it was so cold that I just said, forget it.
You know, one thing I should note, in addition to the hot food and warm clothing that's in need, residents at these locations told me they also need strong metal clamps to hold down their tarps in these strong winds.
Right. What kind of outreach have local agencies done to help unhoused residents with shelter?
Sacramento County has activated what it calls its Motel Voucher Weather Respite Program. I mean, it did that ahead of the original storm on New Year's Eve, and a county spokesperson says it was sheltering more than 200 people at motels as of last week. And under that program, outreach workers, they seek out the most vulnerable unhoused residents. That's usually families or people who are older or have a medical condition, and they offer them a motel voucher that can be used during this bad weather.
Finally, Chris, given that we have rain and potentially severe weather in our forecast for the foreseeable future, remind us of the emergency shelters that are available.
One option is the Howell Park Community Center on Cottage Way in the Arden area. It was open to provide shelter for unhoused residents evacuated off the American River Parkway, along with others needing weather respite. That center has cots and blankets and snacks for up to 50 guests. It also has crates for pets. County officials have said it will remain open depending on weather conditions.
Has the city of Sacramento opened emergency shelters?
It has. It's opened a couple of places, both the Outreach and Engagement Center on Auburn Boulevard in Northeast Sacramento, and also the North 5th Street Shelter Lobby in the River District. The city has said these will remain open through at least Thursday.
Chris, as always, thanks for the time.
Thank you, Vicki.
That is CAP Radio reporter Chris Nichols. Up next, the Hoopa Valley tribe endured a series of natural disasters over the past year. Emergencies made even more pressing due to a lack of reliable internet. We'll head up to Humboldt County and learn how the tribe is taking connectivity into their own hands. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.